2 Peter 3, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Preach the word, brother.
Morning. How about tripped and fell down?
Stand up, brother.
Thank you for that encouragement. If you have your Bibles, and be turning to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 will be in verses 10 through 22 today, following up the passage that we started last week. First of all, it's just really good to be here. Do you feel that way? Is it good to come and worship God? To sing praises to Him and to pray and to give our offerings we've prepared and to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's just good to be here. If you're visiting with us, well, we're just excited that you're here. I see familiar faces all around. I see visitors that I'm getting to know. It's just an exciting time to worship the Lord this morning. Glad that you're here. I wanted to start, and let's see if my clicker works. Okay, I know where I'm at now. I want to start, and I want to talk to you about resumes. Resumes are really important for a person looking for a job, because resumes is how you give a snapshot of who you are to a potential employer. Usually, they're one page in length, and usually, they describe your characteristics in such a way that a guy can sit down and take a look at this resume and see who it is that you are. So, employers, they like this because they're busy. Employers have got lots of stuff to do to try to make their company work, and they don't really have time to sit down and go through a lot of screening process. So, they use the resume as a screening process to get a look at who you are. Well, you know what? We don't need a resume to know who you are because I know you, right? I want to suggest to you that we are walking resumes. The choices that we make build a resume for the character that we have. Every day, when I decide to make choices in my life, I am building a personal resume of who I am. When I decide not to put the seatbelt on in the car, which I've been doing good at, y'all have been praying for me, I know. When I decide to put that on because it's the law, I'm making a choice about doing the right thing, even though I detest it with all my being. I do it anyway. Well, you know what? You make those choices in areas of your life that you might find difficult. They build a resume of your character, of who you are. Church, I want to say this morning. God wants us to be able to identify false teachers. We mentioned this last week, and today we're going to get pretty specific with it. He wants us to know their attitudes, their mindsets, their characteristics, their agendas. He wants us to be able to pick them out from a lineup without hesitation. So today we're going to check out a typical resume of a false teacher, remembering that God wants us to stay away from them because truth will destroy, because what is false will destroy our souls. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 through 22, and I'm going to do a read of that, and then we're going to talk about this point by point. 2 Peter 2, verses 10 and following. says, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deception as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his own transgression, for a mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water, and mist driven by the storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desire, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to the wallowing in the mire. I don't think I have anything to add to that. That was pretty complete. But I want to recap it because I want you to see exactly what's being talked about. I hope that I can do this. I hope you can see this. I hope it's big enough. I want to put down what God has mentioned here as the resume of a false teacher. And when I put all these things in front of myself on tablet of papers, I was working on this thing this week, I thought, wow, this is pretty clear. And that's what God intends to do. He intends on making it clear who false teachers are, because we are supposed to stay away from them, okay? So here, as we begin, false teachers are focused on the temporal. It says that they indulge the flesh in its corruption. And this links us back to the unrighteousness who are under punishment in the preceding verse. They indulge in the flesh. That is, they run after that which is carnal or temporal in nature. The Greek word for flesh is the word sarx, and it means meat without flesh, without the skin on it. What God is pointing to here is the physical. People who get caught up into the physical, the tangible, that which we can see, hear, touch, taste, all of those things, as opposed to that which is spiritual. False teachers get caught up in the temporal, in the fleshly things, and they turn away from God in doing that. Then false teachers despise authority. Oh, church, this is a big one. They don't want to submit to anybody or anything for any purpose, for any cause, including God's Word, including God Himself, including the elders, including each other. You know, we are supposed to be a people that submit to each other. But false teachers, they don't want to submit to anybody. They want to lead because they see leadership as power. Church, I'm going to tell you, as a leader in the church, I guess in my position, I do not view my position as power. I view it as humble submission to God and to you. I picture myself with a washcloth washing your feet. That's what God wants from us. He certainly doesn't want somebody that despises authority. He wants someone that recognizes submission. That's what God wants from us. False teachers despise authority. False teachers have a lack of healthy fear. The text said that they were daring. I thought about this, and I grew up, I'm a 68 model, if that tells you my age. So that puts me 4 or 5 years old, you know, in the early 70s. Evel Knievel. Y'all remember Evel Knievel? Man, I had a lunchbox. I had my bicycle. I painted it that color. And I set up ramps out in my yard. How many people set up ramps in their yard? Come on, give it up. Yep, okay. And I was daring. Sometimes to my own demise because I didn't know when to stop. And I'd come in all banged and bruised up and Mom wondering if she needed to take me and get me an x-ray to see if my arm was really broken or not, you know. I didn't have enough sense sometimes to stop, and I think that's the context. There is a fear that is healthy. Okay? A fear that keeps us from putting our hand on the fire and getting burned. It says here that false teachers are daring. They live out on the edge. They're always pushing the limits. They don't have a healthy fear, but they're daring. And God says, hey, better watch out for somebody like that. It's a characteristic of a false teacher. Number four, they seek their own agenda. They seek their own agenda. It doesn't matter to them that God has a will, a plan, and a purpose that needs to be carried out. They kind of figure that the world ought to revolve around them. False teachers are always trying to promote their purpose. And church, in so much as I ever stand up here and promote my own purpose, that would label me, right, as a false teacher. That's when you give me the boot, right? You all ought to do that sometime. That's kind of fun, just sort of give them the boot. God does not want false teaching regarding His Word, period. And He certainly doesn't want someone that's teaching or preaching or promoting their own agenda versus God's will. Number five, judgmental. The text said that they revile angelic majesties. The word revile in the Greek is the word blaspheme. They speak against angelic majesties. I stopped and I give this some thought. Is there any of us really qualified to speak about angelic majesties? The answer is no. Why not? Because we live here in the physical realm. We haven't even ever been to that realm. We haven't even ever seen that. But these folks, they speak against what they do not know. They make judgments against angelic majesties that not even godly angels make judgments against. What does that tell you? Well, one of our other things coming up here is talking about some arrogance. And I think that would play a part in this. But they are judgmental. They think they have the keys to the kingdom. A false teacher has a definite characteristic that you'll never find a false teacher saying, I don't know. Now, church, I'm going to stop and I want to repeat that because I think you need to hear it again. A false teacher never is found saying, I don't know. anyone that studies God's Word is going to say, you know what? I'm not sure about that. You know, I mean, that's the way God's Word is. But a false teacher thinks they have the keys to the kingdom. They have all the answers. And folks, we need to be really careful about that, because that is a characteristic of a false teacher. Number six, they are irrational. The text said that they are like unreasoning animals. Now, you know, how many of you have sat down and talked to your dog? Okay. Now, second part of the question. Did your dog understand what you were saying? Ron says yes. Did your dog tell you and repeat back to you what you said? Dogs and animals do not have a mind of reason. Animals do not reason, but they are creatures of instinct. Put on this earth toward one end, and that is toward the feeding of human people. They are put here for us toward the end of dying so that we might have food for our tables. God says, listen, false teachers are irrational. They are like unreasoning animals put here only toward the end of destruction. In essence, they serve no real purpose. Now, we're going to leave the family pets to the side, because that's a different category, isn't it, Ron? I don't want to get in the way of your family pet. But so God says, hey, you got false teachers, and they're more of an instinct than a person of reason. And you know, I grew up in the church, and sometimes this was said, oh, this is just what we believe, and that's what we believe. That seems like a little bit of instinct to me, as where we get over here and I say, hey, what do you believe about this? And you say, well, you know, Peter says this, John says this. Don't you see how they fit together? See how I'm reasoning? We got to stay away from this business of that's just what we believe, because that's just instinct. God made us as a people of reason. He gave us a brain and a mind to figure things out. And that's not just the way it is. It's the way God wants it. And God gave us a message that expands in our minds as we grow in maturity and helps us to grow. Number seven. I can't read that up there. I have to look down here. False teachers direct people away from the truth of God. The text says they count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They like to revel in the daylight hours. And I looked up this word revel, and it means to break down or make the mind weak by indulgence. By indulging in luxury and by indulging in sensual pleasures. Now, you know what? That scared me if somebody's trying to break down my mind. But the fact that these guys do it in the daytime says, well, there's no shame to it. They're trying to promote ideas that will break down the reasoning process and leave everybody scratching their heads so they can insert their own agenda. Folks, we got to be careful about folks that come into our assembly or into our lives and promote confusion in regard to God's Word, because God's Word is not confusing. He is not the author of confusion. That's what he says in the book of Hebrew. But he is the author of life. Oh, and then this. False teachers love deception. Can y'all see that up there? Is that all right? That's as big as I can get it, because it's going to fill the page all the way to the bottom. They love deception. Text says that they are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deception as they carouse with you. In the Old Covenant, as you look to what is stained and blemished in regard to sacrifices to the living God, they were what? Unacceptable. And that's the terminology that God's using here to describe a false teacher. These folks have blemishes, they're stains. They represent a sacrifice to God that is not acceptable. The text says specifically that they revel in their deception. And I got a kick out of this in the Greek, because as I was looking at it, what it kind of boiled down to was the fact that they like to make a sport of deceiving. A mind of a false teacher so warped that they take joy in deceiving, they plot, and they... You ever get so excited about something ahead of time that you just kind of giggle under your breath and you're all excited about it? These folks are so warped in this, and their minds are so far away from God's truth that they like to make a sport of deceiving people. That comes with plotting, that comes with a twisted mind. They take joy and they make it a game. Making a game out of deceiving someone? My mind doesn't think that way. But you know what? I don't want to say that it couldn't. I want to stay before the truth of God's Word and make sure that it doesn't. And I want to stay away from people that make a conscious choice to deceive other people and try to make a sport of it, because that says false teacher. Number 9. False teachers don't like boundaries. The text says they have eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin. They do not recognize or care about the boundaries set by God. Purity and commitment and loyalty, whether to each other or to God, mean nothing to them. They continue in sin and they are defiled. Keep the marriage bed pure and undefiled. Those words ring true, okay? These people are defiled. They do not recognize the boundaries of God. Oh, and they take advantage of the weak. The text said, enticing unstable souls. Now, most of us country folk, people, you know, we grew, you know, I grew up in Oklahoma. All of you probably grew up here. Y'all grew up here in the Corn Belt, and, you know, where people have pretty good moral values to some degree. But this guy here is talking about a false teacher being someone who would prey on the weak. Now, we don't take too kindly to that type of attitude in Oklahoma, and I know you don't take too kindly to it here in Iowa, but let me tell you what, false teachers pick out people who are weak to try to promote their thinking, their agenda, and to build a base for themselves. And we need to watch out for anyone that would prey on a weak person, because that dog don't hunt. Is that a good way to say that in a country way? I need some glasses. I can't see my board. Number 11. They're in it for the personal gain. I've got to stop and tell y'all something. You're only supposed to have 3 points in a sermon, right? I've never had Roman numerals go this high, so I had to really figure out how to do this. So I'm trying to look down here. I should have just wrote numbers beside them. False teachers are in it for a personal gain. Said here, having a heart trained in greed. Their hearts are trained, or they have much practice with greed. They care about themselves and their own outcome. Usually, in connection with a false teacher, the dollar sign is found somewhere. Or maybe it's not an actual dollar, maybe it's just a personal gain. Christians, we are in our spirituality for God's gain, aren't we? And in connection with that idea, when I think about greedy, there's another word that comes to my mind. Greedy people usually have a word connected with them starts with the M, manipulators. Church, we need to be careful about people among ourselves and people we walk with in this world who try to manipulate circumstances in order to obtain some kind of godliness. God does not need our intervention to carry out His plan. And He certainly doesn't want us to be people of greed. Okay, number 12. That would be X and two I's. Oh, I put false teachers are superficial. Verse 17. I find verse 17 interesting because I make a connection when the Lord when God puts in allegories in the text, I connect to them. Verse 17 says, "These are springs without water and mists driven by the storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved." Can you imagine? You've seen it on TV. You've seen a person that is so thirsty that they can't see straight. They're out in the desert, right? They're crawling, and they're crawling, and they're just about to give it up and die. And they top this hill, and they see off in this, you know, hazy distance, they see what looks like a well. And then they get to that well, and they're, you know, foaming at the mouth, and they're about to die, and they look down, and there's nothing there. They're dying. They don't have water. They're dehydrated. It's bad news for them. And they spend their effort crawling out here toward a well that has no water in it. That's a false teacher. A promising rain cloud that comes by and just gives a little sprinkle. Can you imagine a farmer out here, he's planted all his crops and he's got thousands and thousands of dollars invested in time and effort and seed and all of this, and he needs the rain. Here comes a cloud, oh, and it's dark, and he knows that's the one, and here comes just a little sprinkle. Oh, terrible. That's what false teachers are. They're superficial. They have no substance because they don't have God's Word. Number 13. They are arrogant. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity. Empty words of arrogance. They entice people. Know-it-all gum flappers. That's what I wrote down. They fancy themselves better than everyone else. Now, I can't hardly get in that mindset because I just kind of buy into the opinion that God created us all equal and that's who we are. But a false teacher sets himself above everyone else. The words of Obadiah ring true to me in the fact that they're up here in the cleft of the rock and they look down on people and they say, "Who's going to bring us down from here?" And God says, "I will." False teachers fancy themselves not only better, but they fancy themselves in a whole different class. And they look down on people. We don't do that as members of the Lord's church, do we? We look side to side. Because that's how God made us. But here, false teachers are arrogant. Number 14, are you still seeing that? Can you see it through me? Number 14, false teachers are hypocritical. Promising people freedom. Oh, I like this one. Can you imagine? This picture is kind of cool. Can you imagine a guy in the prison? Out in the prison yard behind this huge tall fence with razor wire? Hollering out to people on the outside, "Hey, I can tell you about freedom and how to get it." That's just totally ridiculous. ridiculous. Because that person's a slave. They're a prisoner, and they're telling people how to be free. But they don't mind doing it, and people don't mind listening. That's just what blows my mind. False teachers are hypocritical. And number 15, false teachers destroy people. Verse 20 says, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," talking about those weak people, "they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse to them than the first." Listen to verse 21. "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them." False teaching, when people buy into it, they end up worse off than they were before. And God goes on here through Peter in verse 21 to say, hey, you know what? It would have been better off if they would not have even known the way of righteousness. Now this is where Dan says, I don't know. Don't know how to explain that. But God says that somehow it would be better off if they would not have even known God. Known the way of righteousness, to be exact. False teaching destroys people. And number 16. What? I barely got that one in there. Caught in a vicious cycle. Okay, all of you weak, stomached people, turn your ears off. Because I'm just going to preach it like the text says it. Like a dog returning to its vomit. You ever seen a dog puke something up and then go eat this disgusting puke? I mean, I'm sorry, that's just wholly disgusting to me. Well, so is the point about false teachers. They puke out what makes them sick, and then they go eat what made them sick again. To get sick again, to eat it. You see the cycle? The vicious cycle? Like a pig. How many of you raised a pig in FFA or, oh wait a minute, FHA? FAA be the Federal Airlines Association. How many of you raised animals, farm animals? Man, you get out there and you scrub those guys and you turn them out and 5 minutes later they look just as bad as they did too. Because they don't have enough sense to stay out of what's defiling them or contaminating them or making them dirty or eating their own puke. So it is with false teachers. They return constantly to the same thing that has defiled them. Okay, we're at the end. Jesus has a comment to make about these guys. I'm going to let him speak for himself. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus says, "By their fruits you will know them." Church, we must continually be on the lookout for false teaching, because it destroys the truth of God's Word. It throws humans into confusion, and it tears down. Now here's the point. We've come down to the final point. Here's the point. You have Peter as an apostle saying, hey look, you guys need to stay away from false teachers. This is the resume right here of a false teacher. But if you do a flip of this, you see the resume of an apostle. Apostles, on the contrary, here's the point by God, apostles are people focused on the spiritual. Apostles are people that submit to God. Apostles are people that have a healthy fear of God, understanding that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Apostles seek not their own agenda, but God's will. Apostles are not greedy, they are gracious. Apostles are men of reason. truth. They love honesty and integrity. They respect God's boundaries. They help the weak. They help fill people's needs. Apostles are genuine. Apostles are humble. They live what they preach. Apostles build people up. They learn from their mistakes. So Peter says, who are you going to listen to? Church truth is so important. People from the earliest times have tried to distort the truth in trying to gain an advantage for themselves. God tells us that the way of truth is written through, it comes through the Scripture. Paul tells Timothy that. And he tells Peter that also, if you remember. So let's focus on God's truth as found in the Scripture. It is the only base. It is the only platform by which we can grow into righteousness, the right relationship with God. So the invitation would go out this morning and be this. If maybe in your life you have some characteristics that's going to kind of lead you in a false direction. You know, when you looked at that list of false teacher stuff, was there anything on that list that you struggle with? Now, I'm not saying you're a false teacher if you struggle with something on that list, but let me tell you what, I'm telling you that you need to get that out of your life. These things right here, are they a resume of you? Can you put your name at the top? Blake Aukus, here's what I am. This is a snapshot of me. Ron Burke, this is a snapshot of me. Ward Bickford, write that at the top. Or do you fall a little short in a couple of these categories? And do you want to try to do a little bit better? We're going to sing a song of invitation, and the invitation is yours. The invitation is yours to think about and to acknowledge if you need to make some changes. And if you do at this time, we'd invite you to come as we stand and sing.